Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. David Dietz, filmmaker, actor, writer.
Jack of all trades, master of none.
We can go on and on and on. You have produced quite a bit of work here in our fair hamlet of Pittsburgh.
I have, yeah. I've done a lot of... I started off in the theater, working with different local companies around the area. And when I really started to get into producing more work was once I started working with a group called Sunday Night Live, who were a playwriting group. Mostly they took scripts from other playwrights and put them on stage with a group of actors just sitting at a table, kind of like we're doing right now, and they would read the script and give the author notes on it so that maybe they could either improve it or, you know, tweak it a little bit just to get it ready for any kind of production. And once I started doing that and I had the kind of the directing bug in me, I thought, well, I've always wanted to be a filmmaker. And I've always wanted to, you know, make movies and, you know, put them out there and do all that sort of stuff with. And so that just sort of gave me the impetus to want to do it and get it out.
So you've got a good idea for a movie, a film. You've got a script. What do?
Well, if you do what I did, you become one of eBay's best customers. And
for equipment, you mean?
Yes. Yeah, for equipment. You'd be amazed at the kind of deals that you can find on eBay as far as equipment goes. I basically took the time. I had written a script back in my college days, and I finally got around after about 10, 20 years or so to finally thinking, well, I'd like to produce this. How do I do that? And the first thing I realized was, well, I need equipment to do that. So, like I said, you become the best customer that eBay has, and you go looking around for different things that you would need, like a camera, a good microphone, a computer software to edit it. And once you get all that stuff together and you have basically all the tools that you need, that's when you can really go into the production phase and start putting it down on film or, you know, video in this case now.
So you've produced or filmed a lot of your own work, the work that you have written for the screen.
I haven't really done as much of the short form stuff. A lot of filmmakers kind of get their feet wet by going in and producing small things for, you know, like little YouTube videos. Mm-hmm. Like they'll produce, Grumpy Cat or...
Hey, Grumpy Cat, I think that's a lucrative operation these days.
Yeah, it ended up being pretty good for them. I really always wanted to do something that was a little bit bigger than that.
Grumpy Dog.
Look out. The Great Dane, Grumpy Dog. Like Scooby-Doo on steroids or something there. But but I didn't really want to just go in and make little two-minute YouTube clips or any of that sort of stuff. I wanted to make a film. So, I went back to a script that I had written in college a long time ago. And in 2009, I started really going through it and thinking, okay, tweak it a little bit here and there. And lo and behold, okay, I have a script that I think I can shoot. And then I became eBay's best customer, got all my equipment together, and started to think, okay, well, who can I bring in to make this thing happen? And that's when I started approaching, you know, different actors that I knew from the various contacts that I had made all throughout, you know, working in the theater. I worked in the theater around Pittsburgh for, oh boy, I think I was working in it for at least 10 years before I ever decided to really get my feet wet and shoot a film. But it was a good thing because I got to know, okay, who did I think were the good actors, who would be reliable, who would show up, because I think Woody Allen once said that 90% of success in show business is showing up. So I wanted to make sure that these would be the people who would be there and that I would want to have on board to help me produce it.
Did you find it difficult to transition from theater to film?
Only in the sense that as an actor, there's a different way of acting on stage than there is acting in film. Mm-hmm. I once took a seminar with a woman named, I forgot her name. Kenise Kennedy just came into my mind. And Alinda Carolla, that was her name. And she gave me what I thought was the greatest piece of advice on film acting, which was when you ask somebody a question, like if you were to say, where's Phil, to me? On film, or on theater actually, you would go, like you would say, where's Phil? He's over there. And on film, you would say, he's over there. So it's just a little bit of just taking down and toning down everything that you learn on stage to kind of, you know, get the meaning across to the back seats and just bringing it down, because when you're in film, it's a lot more intimate. So that was really the hardest part. And once you realize that bit, it's really not that difficult to make that transition.
Had you directed for theater before directing for film?
Yes, yeah. I directed a few plays, mostly short plays, including a play for the New Works Festival called Angelo of Mercy.
Oh, yeah?
It was written by this really brilliant guy.
What
was his name? Brian Edward. That was it. It's a really great script. Yeah, you should preen a little bit. I thought it was really great.
We're going way back now. That was over 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was like the year after. It does. I think it does. I mean, I still have really good memories of that.
All right, script. So if we want to film Angelo of Mercy, what do we got to do? I've got the script.
Okay, you got the script. Do you have the equipment, or do you know somebody who has the equipment?
No.
Okay. No. Well, then you want to get the equipment down, and then you want to find somebody. You either want to learn the equipment yourself, how to work it, or you want to find somebody who knows what they're doing and who will, you know, just kind of will agree with your image, or you know, you and he kind of agree, or she will agree on the image that you want to put on screen, and then you two kind of collaborate to try and create this film, shoot it, and then you know, go into the editing bay and just kind of whack it all together.
Great. How's next Tuesday look for you?
Actually, not too bad.
All right, we're gonna knock this thing out in an afternoon, and then we'll pop off for drinks. That's fantastic.
Exactly.
Now, is there a genre that you feel that you work mainly in?
A little sip there. I need that little.
That's outside
little belt there.
Swimming in cocktails.
One of the things that I had always thought about, you know, when you want to make a film, okay, what's the first thing you want to work in, or what's the first genre? And a lot of really great filmmakers got their start working in horror, because of all of the typical genres that are out there, it's probably the easiest to produce something in. Not that,
really?
You know, well, not that producing a film in itself is easy, but it's probably one of the easiest things to genres to just try to get your feet wet in. And,
wet in blood.
Yeah, wet in blood. Although, if you watch my film, there's really not a whole lot of blood in it, per se.
The more psychological thrillers.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't want to go like, Friday the 13th or whatever with it.
Like this fine psychological thriller, Fetish Dolls Die Laughing.
Yeah.
this is deep. I can
yeah, it's a very deep psychological drama about the effects the internet has had on... Actually, no, it's not like that at all. It's that film was a film that I worked on after I had finished my film. And although I have a small acting role in it, most of the work I did on was the post-production work, editing it and putting it together, putting the music in it.
Who do you play in this?
I play a lawyer in it.
Now, this was filmed here.
Yes.
This was all local actors, mm-hmm. local crew.
Produced by David Silvio. His company's called Kiss of Death Productions. And they produced other things. They had another film out a few years ago called Meat for Satan's Icebox.
Oh.
That Troma distributed.
Oh, so that was a good family feature.
Yes,
for a,
exactly.
For a
bring the
matinee.
Kids along.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is it about Pittsburgh that seems to breed a lot of independent horror movies? I mean, we've got our roots going back to Romero's Zombies,
mm-hmm.
and it hasn't gone away.
No.
And now you're diving into it too. Do you feel that there's been a road paved there here in Pittsburgh that runs deep?
Well, if it's paved, it's kind of cobblestone, I think, because it's not the smoothest drive, and there are potholes all over it, knowing that it's Pittsburgh.
That's brilliant. So. That was beautiful.
So, but yeah, George Romero, you know, he's probably the godfather of the Pittsburgh filmmakers, because he was the one who took a bunch of people and just brought them all out to a cemetery and, you know, made Night of the Living Dead out there. Interesting side note, my dad at one time dated Judy Ridley, who was one of the girls in the original Night of the Living Dead, the second blonde who comes in.
Oh.
I don't know how familiar you are with that, but anyway.
This is little, 6 degrees of Judy Ridley.
Yeah, maybe.
you made that. It in what, one?
Maybe.
I'm two now, know. So if anybody asks me that, I'm prepared.
Yeah. So, yeah. Although the zombie films, you know, are probably the ones that everybody knows that were shot around here, there were a lot of other interesting, you know, horror genre films. One of my favorites, and I think probably one that kind of inspired me in somewhat, was a film that John Landis made called Innocent Blood. It was a vampire movie, and had who was it? Anne Perelaud from La Femme Nikita. Like the original La Femme Nikita, the French movie, mm-hmm. and Anthony Garcia. And it was just kind of him doing what he did with American Werewolf in London, trying, you know, to infuse the horror werewolf genre with a little bit of humor, to doing it with the vampire genre,
right, right, right.
and also the gangster genre. So a little bit of a mishmash there. But it was really amazing, like all of the different locations that he was able to pull together and make it locally, and it was still, I thought, a very compelling movie, and it was inspiring.
So, at this point, how many of these independent films have you got under your belt?
That I have, like, personally written, produced, mm-hmm. directed? Only one, so far. Although, Fetish Dolls Die Laughing is, you know, one that I could say I did, you know, all of the post-production work on. The one that is my film is one called Indemnity. That, surprisingly enough, is right down there.
How convenient. Rage of a Jealous Vampire. Now, I guess vampires have a lot on their plate. There's a lot of... What is it that really... what is it really that would drive a vampire to feel jealousy?
Well, if you watch my film...
We don't want to give too much away, because we want to encourage folks to... Now, where could somebody get this?
Well,
if they wanted to see it.
If they wanted to get it, they could either go to its website, indemnitymovie.com, mm-hmm. or it is available online through Amazon and other online retailers. Not, unfortunately, a lot of the brick-and-mortar stores don't really stock it, but if you go to the online retailers, you can get it there. And I was saying one of my fondest... my greatest achievement was the fact that it's available in Walmart online.
You know, so. You've made it big time when you can buy it at Walmart.
Yeah.
Well, on Walmart online.
Yeah, Walmart online.
Pretty cool. And now this, we are filming this interview today at the Smiling Moose in the South Side,
mm-hmm.
and because portions of this film were filmed right here.
Actually, the majority of it was filmed here. Yeah, at this bar right here behind us. I don't know if they can see it.
They have
back
cleaned
here.
The blood stain,
yeah.
by the way. This is very important. Mm-hmm. But no, Smiling Moose, great place to grab a drink, grab a bite to eat,
mm-hmm.
and delve into some Pittsburgh vampire lore.
Yeah.
And the decor is in Smiling Moose, you know, downstairs, they have a lot of the old horror movie posters up along the wall. So
mm-hmm.
Is that what inspired you to shoot here, or was filming this here maybe what inspired that decor?
No, the decor was already in place when we shot here. But what I was really kind of looking for, and this is kind of an interesting thing about shooting in Pittsburgh, you can make it look like anywhere.
This is true.
It doesn't have to be, you know, Hollywood or New York, unless you're trying to do someplace tropical. Mm-hmm. Then you might run into trouble. But if you were just shooting a film like Indemnity, which I actually set in kind of a rural America type setting, it's supposed to be at this remote bar that's just kind of off the highway somewhere in America. And the Smiling Moose just had a great decor, and I thought it looked perfect for, you know,
so
a
I'm
type
supposing
of bar like
the exterior shots would be a small little bar out in the middle of nowhere, but the interior shots would be here.
Yeah.
Which is anything but. I mean, you're on Carson Street, it's always busy.
Although
that's
the exterior
magic.
The exterior shots are at another bar in Amity, PA that my wife told me about. Mm. Actually, it's named in there Rinky Dink's Roadhouse, is what it's called.
So Rinky Dink's Roadhouse is actually our very own Smiling Moose.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yes.
So I think there's a whole, you know, they're going to see an influx of Indemnity fans, you know, coming here to live the experience.
Oh, if only.
Hey, it could happen. Absolutely. So you are in this, too.
Yes.
Everyone has had a romantic relationship that went horribly wrong, but not like William, David Dietz.
Not like me.
Interesting. So yeah, we need to get down to Walmart.com and get Indemnity. Excellent. Fantastic. Yeah. And then we have another film that you've worked on here, Dark Wake.
Yeah. That's actually one that, again, I've kind of covered now the whole gamut of the movie distribution right here. Indemnity is one that, you know, is totally mine, wrote, produced, directed. Fetish Dolls Die Laughing is one that I, you know, edited. Dark Wake is one that I'm distributing.
Oh.
Just on its own. It was. I have a small role in it as well as a police officer, but the film company that produced it, you know, they sort of shelved it for a while, and they didn't really know what they wanted to do with it. And finally, after much lobbying on my part, I got them to agree to release it to me, and I've put it out through Amazon's CreateSpace service.
Yeah, Ina Block is in this.
Mm-hmm.
A nun who is about to receive the Mother Teresa Humanitarian Award, right next to Fetish Dolls Die Laughing. So this is a great weekend double feature right here. But you know, I think the big takeaway from this for Pittsburgh is that, you know, there now we are seeing a lot of big industrial films being made here, but there are independent films like this being made here all the time, and there is a library of Pittsburgh cinema out there right now that I think really, you know, needs to be encouraged and explored.
Exactly. I mean, I was always saying, like, when I was trying to promote any of these movies, I would send out press releases to the, you know, to the local media and all of that, and it almost seemed like unless your movie was starring Tom Cruise or Batman, they didn't care about it. But luckily, we have Berg Vivant back now to you know, to help us spread the word.
I was in Batman. Did you know that?
You were.
If you watch Berg Vivant, every chance I get to work that into an interview, the fact that I was in that movie
in Dark Knight Rises.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm. I was a Gotham City police officer. Can
so
you
was
picture
a friend
that?
Of mine. Yeah.
And you know, friends ask me, "Oh, well, where were you?" I say, "I'm easy to spot. I'm the police officer with the martini and the cigarette." when they're all fighting on City Hall.
You're just like, nice.
They're still looking for me.
Oh, wow, man in bat suit. Cool.
Right. But no, that was pretty. Who's your favorite superhero?
My favorite superhero? Spider-Man.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. I always had a thing about Spider-Man when I was a kid, but I think probably because he was a teenager who had all the teenage angst and everything, and yet he had this incredible, you know, gift, the superpower, and he had to kind of balance out, you know, does he try to do the best that he can with it, or, you know, would he try to use his powers for personal gain? And it always seemed like there was that conflict going on with him.
So within the horror genre, what monster or creature or villain do you have the closest connection with? Who's your real favorite there?
Oh, boy.
Now, you've done a vampire film.
Done a vampire
film.
So
one may assume that it's Dracula vampires. Where is your heart when it comes to disgusting, horrible creatures?
They're not really that disgusting. Some might call them comical. I've always been a fan of Japanese kaiju movies.
I don't even know what that is.
Godzilla.
Oh, now I know what that is, yeah. And I love it. And the other one, Gojira.
Well, Gojira is the Japanese name of Godzilla.
But no, there's no, the atomic turtle.
Oh, Gamera.
Gamera.
Yeah.
I am almost a bigger Gamera fan than I am of Godzilla. Because there's a lot of comedy to Gamera.
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't discover Gamera until I had seen the Mystery Science Theater 3000 episodes that they did with those movies.
And I believe that Gamera has his whole rogues gallery of other monsters mm-hmm. that he fights like Godzilla does.
Yeah.
And that is a genre we haven't brought to Pittsburgh.
It would be interesting to try. Could you imagine like a giant monster trying to chomp down on... the steel building.
Yes. Yes, this is why I'm
coming
saying
out
this.
Of the Monongahela.
I can see it.
Oh, I think I've gotten the idea now.
Yes. This needs to happen.
Maybe.
This
Although if we do it, we can't do it like Pacific Rim.
No. if we had that budget.
If we did, sure. But yeah.
That would be the thing. Now, do you feel that you're going to stick, you know, within that, in future films that you'll be making, you know, keep... working in the horror genre, or are you going to be expanding beyond that?
I'd like to expand beyond it. I mean, I have another script, another couple of scripts, actually, that I'm looking to shoot that are kind of in the horror genre, and I don't want to, you know, downplay or dismiss the horror genre, because the fans of horror are some of the most loyal ones out there. They're right up there with the sci-fi fans, mm-hmm. and being a sci-fi fan myself, you know, I think, okay, these are the people I want to target.
What'd you think of Sharknado?
Never saw it. Really didn't. I have no thoughts on
that. Could have been
Nathan.
That could have been your idea.
Yeah, it could have been, but it wasn't. Thankfully,
we'll come up with something similar here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah. What would that be? I don't know.
It came from the pierogi kitchen.
Yeah. And giant fight between like a giant Steely McBeam and the monster from the Monongahela.
I'm telling you, look, and we've only been pondering this for what, 2-3 minutes here, this mm-hmm. brainstorm, and already we've got a blockbuster.
Maybe, yeah.
And we go into the, you know, when we go to get, you know, maybe a back, we're like, if you loved Sharknado,
yeah.
You'll love the pierogi from the Southside Flats. The pierogi walks it.
The pierogi that ate Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there was a basketball film, The Fish That mm-hmm. Saved Pittsburgh.
Yeah, but the fish didn't try to eat it.
No, but in our movie, mm-hmm. it very well could
be. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but what's on the boiler? What do you got cooking for maybe a future project here?
Well, like I said, I have another script that I wrote around the same time that I wrote the script for mm-hmm. Indemnity. Called A Thing of Beauty, that takes place in the art world. And I'm looking to, you know, shoot that as soon as I possibly can. Like I had said before, I did kind of self-finance Indemnity, so I think this time I'd really like to try to go out and get some actual money behind it to try and produce something really, really good, of really good quality, and have some good actors and actually pay them this time.
Mm. Now, is this profitable? You know, because you've said, you know, self-funded, and, you know, do you see it back?
So far, not yet. And the movie's been out for a while now. The one thing that they always tell you is, if you want to make money, don't go into movies.
Hmm.
Unless you have, like, the Hollywood studio backing you up, it's very rare that a film turns a profit. I mean, even in Hollywood, you see movies that are made for, you know, multi-million dollar budgets, and they end up being like a complete bust. Like, yep. Like The Lone Ranger this past summer that came out. Disney, you know, invested a lot of money into that, and it didn't do so well. They could probably recoup it in the overseas market, you know, with the theater and
if they have Johnny Depp fight Godzilla, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Then.
There we go. No, then. Johnny Depp wouldn't have to fight Godzilla. He could just talk him down, I think.
Yeah. Well, that's the nature of the business, then. You know mm-hmm. I mean? It's an art, and making the art.
Yeah.
And, you know, I imagine that seeing it on DVD is very rewarding.
It is, yeah. It's, I mean, when you produce a film, you kind of think, okay, well, I've made this film. Now what do I do with it?
Exactly.
And... thankfully, with horror films, that's another positive about horror films. There are a ton of bloggers out there who are willing to review your movie, and if It's not very good, they'll tell you, but they'll also say, you know, we appreciate what you've done with it. Luckily, the ones who have reviewed Indemnity have been very kind. They've only pointed out like a couple of minor technical flaws in it. But overall, they've been very kind about it. Mm-hmm. And actually, the one blogger that I contacted about it, and I sent him the movie to review, and he gave me a nice write-up and everything, contacted me about 6 months after he received the review and said, hey, I am now the director of acquisitions at this company called Worldwide Multimedia, and we're looking for new films. Would you consider submitting Indemnity to us? And I said, well, yeah, sure.
Why and not? So they then became the distributor.
Right, exactly.
Yes, I see their logo on the back.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
So we do want to encourage everybody to track down Indemnity. What can we expect from this film?
What can you expect? I hope you can expect it to be a good ride. Hopefully you'll be on the edge of your seat up to the end, just trying to figure out, you know, what's the mystery behind it? You know, why is there a jealous vampire, and what does it have to do with this guy William, who's showing up at this bar and telling his story to a bartender who he barely knows?
Mystery, romance, jealousy, and vampires.
Yeah.
Indemnity, Age of a Jealous Vampire. In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.